Today is the first Sunday of the month of Tuba. It is the Sunday that follows the Feast of the Glorious Nativity. And in today's Gospel, we read about the flight of the Holy Family into Egypt. And basically, this is the beginning of the life of Christ. And it is the beginning of our life with Christ. And so, in today's readings, in the Catholic Epistle, in the Epistle of St. John, chapter 3, he talks to us about how to begin our life with Christ. And he speaks saying, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now you are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we should be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope to become children of God, purifies himself just as he is pure." So the way, in order for us to become children of God, as Saint John is telling us, is to purify ourselves. Saint David in the Psalms, in Psalm 119, he asks a question. He says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way?" And he answers this question by saying, "By taking heed according to your word." By taking heed according to your word. God's word is our guide. As he continues in the same psalm, he says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And we know this verse is very familiar to us. There is a very nice, beautiful song that was composed about it. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God is our guide. The word of God is our lamp. It's our light that guides our path. It is also our eternal life. As St. Peter says in his first epistle, "The word of the Lord endures forever." The word of God teaches us and admonishes us and brings us joy. As St. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So the word of God teaches us, the word of God admonishes us when we do something wrong, and it gives us joy. The word of God grows and prevails, as we read in the book of Acts. "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." The word of God is very powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the word of God is our guide. The word of God is eternal. The word of God teaches us, admonishes us, and gives us joy. It grows and prevails, and it's very powerful. So how can a young man cleanse his way? What is this way that the young man needs to cleanse? This is the cry of every Christian. How do we cleanse our way? What is this way that we need to cleanse? This way, as Christ told us, is the way of temptation, is the way of life. As he said, "In the world you'll have many tribulations." As he said, "Enter through the narrow gate." One of the Christian writers, his name is James Evans, says, "Look well at thy going, it is a narrow path. Look well at thy going, it is a new path. Look well at thy going, it is a slippery path. Look well at thy going, it's an eventful path." So this path that we need to cleanse is a narrow path, it's a new path, it's an eventful path, and it's a slippery path. If somebody would like to learn, or somebody would like to fly a plane, he cannot just sit in the cockpit and start flying the plane. He has to first go to flight school, learn how to fly the plane, get a license, and then begin to fly this plane. This is the same way with our spiritual life. We cannot just start flying our spiritual life. We have to learn how to fly our spiritual life. And so we continue on. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. There are 4 points in the psalm that David, the psalmist, teaches us how to cleanse our way. The first method or the first point is by prayer. He says in the same psalm, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." We are familiar with this verse as well. We sing it in the Tasbihah, "Mubarakun anta ya Rabb, allimni adlak." Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your justice. So the first way is through prayer. A Christian person has a heart for God. Isaiah the prophet says in chapter 26, "The desire for our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early." Whether at night or early in the morning, our desire is to seek the Lord. A Christian person longs for the presence of the Lord, for communion and fellowship with God. That's why we come to church on Sunday, to become part of the divine goodness, to become part with God, to take communion, to become one with Him. We long for enjoying quality time with God. When we come to the church, when we come to the liturgy, and pay attention to the readings, and pay attention to the prayers, and pray with our heart, not just have our thoughts wander around, and not pay attention, and not be alert to the prayers, when we actually partake of the liturgy, partake of the prayers, we enjoy the time. And we wish that the liturgy would not end, and we wish that we can stay longer and praise God longer and spend more time with Him. A Christian person understands that without God, he cannot do anything, but with God, everything is possible. And so he understands that God is everything in his life. He needs the enablement of God to be able to take heed to the Word of God. St. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." It is God who helps us work out our salvation. We cannot apply ourselves to the Word of God without God, without the help of God. And we know this from experience. How many times do we hear people saying, "I am doing all these things, but I just cannot make that leap to God. I cannot make that connection. I'm still stuck down on the earth, and there's a link that's missing between me and God." Yes, on your own, you can never reach God. It is Him who has to come down and has to draw you, and you have to allow Him to do that. A very simple exercise that can demonstrate this for us, something that we probably do, or at least should do every day, and that's our daily reading of the Bible. What happens when we come to read the Bible? We get sleepy. We lack interest, or if we do read it, we rush through it, and we forget what we read, we don't contemplate, we don't understand what we read, we read it as a duty, we read it out of habit, but there is no understanding in the reading of the Word of God. And then if we actually read it, we try to fight the truth that's in it, and we try to question, is this really what God means to do? Maybe this is not the right message. Maybe this is an archaic scripture. This is something that was written thousands of years ago. It must not apply in today's life. And so if we try on our own to read the gospel, to read the Word of God, we fail. It is through God that we would be able to understand and read the Word of God. And if we do read the Word of God and we try to apply it, do we actually obey the Word of God? Or do we brush it aside? Does the opinions of other people count more than the opinion or the Word of God? If God tells us to do something that is looked upon as strange from the people of the world, does the opinion of the world count more than the Word of God? Does peer pressure hold us down? Do we not want to obey the Word of God because of peer pressure? Because what are the people around us going to do? What are they going to say about us? If they are telling us to do this thing and we want to do the other thing because that's what the Word of God tells us to do. Do we silence our conscience? Our conscience is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience and condemns us when we do something wrong. But after a while, we may try to silence the conscience. We try to say, "Be quiet. I know this is wrong, but I'm happy with it. I don't want to listen to the Word of God anymore." Without God, we can do nothing. Without God, we cannot even read the Bible and apply it properly. We must experience complete dependence on God. We need to crave the nearness of God to be next to us, to be within our lives. We need to be constantly in communion with Him, and we do this by prayer. This is the only way that we can have unity with the Lord, is to pray to Him, to be one with Him. Actually, the word prayer in the Arabic language has a better meaning than in the English language. In the English language, pray gives the idea to ask, to plead, but the word salah gives the idea of a connection, sila. You have a connection with God. We need to seek the enablement of God in our lives. And even when we read the Bible, we need to ask God to come and help us read the Bible. That's why we teach people to pray before reading the Bible, so that God will come and bestow His Holy Spirit upon us and help us read the Bible. So how can a young man cleanse his way? The first step is what? Prayer. The second step, in the same chapter, in verse 11, David, the psalmist, says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So the second step is memorization. So first we pray, and second we memorize the prayers, we memorize the word of God. If it is through the word of God that we grow as Christians, then we will need the word of God with us in every situation that we might not sin against God. Obviously, we cannot be reading the word of God all the time. We cannot be reading the word, we cannot open the Bible when we're in the supermarket. We cannot open the Bible when we're driving. We cannot open the Bible when we're at work. And so the solution to that, as St. David says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart." The solution is to memorize the word of God. And so you'll have it with you always. And what word has David hid in his heart? The Hebrew word for the word here in this verse means all of God's truth, everything. Not just the verses that make us feel joyful, not just the verses that make us feel happy, but all the words of God, all the truth of God, the words that condemn us, the words that make us sad because of our sins, the words that make us want to help others, all the words of God we need to hide in our heart. By having the word of God continually within us, whenever we go, wherever we go, we have the word of God to motivate us, to help us understand what we need to do. Solomon the wise said in the book of Proverbs chapter 2, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things." So when we keep the word of God, when we memorize the word of God, we can escape all of these snares. If we wish to cleanse our ways and grow as Christians, then we need to set ourselves to memorize the scriptures, to memorize the word of God. This is what will give us direction in our lives. This is what will give us understanding what we should do when we are faced with various situations. For example, if we memorize the word of God and we are faced with the problem of the lust of the eye, we can very easily pull out from our memory, pull out from our heart the word of God, which tells us, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." If we are faced with the sin of the uncontrollable tongue, we pull out the word of God from our mind and from our heart, and it tells us, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." So we use the word of God to battle all of these situations and to be victorious in all these situations. And this is exactly how Christ defeated Satan on the temptation on the mountain. He defeated him by the word of God. How do we set out to memorize the word of God? A very simple exercise that we can do. Begin writing down verses on index cards or in a diary. One verse a day, or even one verse a week, or even one verse a month. But you have to begin somewhere, and you have to begin memorizing the word of God. His Holiness Pope Shenouda III has a very nice saying. He says, keep or memorize the Psalms, and the Psalms will keep you. احفظ المزامير تحفظك المزامير. We are very familiar with this saying. So memorizing the Word of God is what's going to keep us. So how does a young man cleanse his way? The first step is prayer. The second step is memorization. The third step we find in the same chapter in verses 15 and 16 in Psalm 119. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The third step is contemplation and meditation. If we eat our breakfast and our body does not digest the food that we ate, then this food that we ate has no value. It will just pass through our body without giving us any nutrients, without giving us any kind of value to our life. But our body has to digest this food and break it down even to its molecules and be able to use it. That's exactly the same way with our spiritual life. We have to digest the Word of God. We said that the second step was to memorize the Scripture. The third step is to digest the Scripture, to understand the Scripture, to meditate on it, and to contemplate on the Word of God. David, the psalmist, memorized the Word of God. He said, I have hidden your Word in my heart. And what else does he say? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Not only did he memorize the Word of God, he meditates on the Word of God all day long. In order for us to understand, to cleanse our way, we need to meditate on the Word of God and work it in our minds all day long. St. James in his epistle in chapter 1 says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, that one's religion is useless. So if we take this verse, we need to digest it. How does this verse apply to my situation? What should I do to fulfill this commandment? What should I not do? Is there anything I need to change in my life? Is there anything I need to believe? Is there anything that I misunderstand? What does this verse mean to me? This is digesting the Word of God. This is contemplating, meditating on it. And we don't need to set aside a specific time and place for meditation. It is good to do that, but I know many of us don't have the time, or at least claim we don't have the time to do these things. So meditate on the Word of God, as David said, all day long. You can meditate on it when you are walking around. You can meditate on it when you're mowing the lawn. You can meditate on it when you're sitting at the beach. You can meditate on it when you're driving. What do we do when we are driving? We think of all different things in our minds. Why not think about the Word of God as well? Why not meditate and digest the Word of God? The Word of God that we should have read or prayed in the morning, we can meditate on our drive to work in the morning. The Word of God that we have read in the evening, we can meditate on it on our way home in the evening. How can a young man cleanse his way? First step is prayer. Second step is memorization. Third step is contemplation. The fourth step is obedience. And this is in verses 10, 11, 14, and 16 of Psalm 119. What does David say about this? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. It is not sufficient that we memorize and contemplate on the Word of God. We have to obey the Word of God. Christians love the Word of God and never put it to one side. We obey the Word of God. The Word of God becomes the life to us, becomes our eternal path, our eternal life. The Lord's commandments are not a burden, but a delight. As David said, I delight myself in your statutes. He enjoys living according to the Word of God, according to the commandments of God. A Christian wants to know how to obey God everywhere, how to obey God at work, how to obey God in school, how to obey God at home, with the family, with friends, even in the church. There's a way to obey the word of God, etc., etc. Everywhere and everything that we do, we need to understand how to obey the word of God. We make every effort to obey the word of God. We don't forget the scriptures. Remember, the second point was memorization. Okay, so we memorized the word. If we don't obey it, it's useless to us. We have not completed our path. We have not cleansed our way properly. We do not forget the word of God if we obey it, if we are living in it. If you are constantly performing a task, you do not forget it because it becomes your second nature. It becomes part of your life. A Christian is a student seeking to gain knowledge of the scripture. But not just a student, he's a disciple who rejoices in obedience to the word of God, walking in the way of the Lord. Not just a student trying to memorize and trying to contemplate, but a disciple of the Lord who's trying to follow his steps, who's trying to follow his ways. We need to memorize and meditate the scriptures that we might be able to obey it. So how does a young man cleanse his way? How does a young man cleanse his way? Four steps. The first step was prayer. The second step is memorization. The third step is meditation. And the fourth step is obedience. May God give us the way and the understanding of how to cleanse our ways and how to obey his word and understand it. And glory be to God forever. Amen.